AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday today. Matt, Eric today. Are we going to get – I know Robert Pilot said it on down for the protest for the name of the football team for the Washington NFL squad. Are we going to hear from him at all this afternoon? I know they're kind of the march starts right at 4 o'clock.
I'm not totally sure. I haven't spoken with him. I know he's there.
Well, it just is amazing to me. We are at a point where we still have that name. It is just, you know, and it just, I was reading the story today. The we're when you look at, there's a bridge up in Duluth. They're going to have to start all over again with this bridge because as they started digging for this, they came across Native American artifacts. Mm-hmm. And they did the right thing, saying, "Oh, whoa, we can't dig this up. We have to respect this and move around." And yet here's the NFL game on TV that, you know,
it's okay to just treat the ones who are still alive horrible.
Yeah, I for the life of me, there is a tone-deaf nature to this whole thing, which is kind of, well, the truth, for me at least, is beyond belief. Protesters will hold a march and rally Thursday afternoon and head the Minnesota Vikings game against the Washington NFL team, urging the NFL to stop using that name and mascot that they say is racist. Betty McCollum and Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan are among the politicians expected to speak at the Not Your Mascot event hosted by the Coalition of Tribal Governments, the National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media, and Native American organizations outside of U.S. Bank Stadium. The group will gather at PV Field Park in Minneapolis. They started at about 2. The march begins at 4 at the Commons Park in front of the stadium. The rally will start there at 5. The last such protest in Minnesota took place in 2014 when at least 3,000 people gathered before the Vikings-Washington game at TCF Bank Stadium. Washington's owner, Daniel Snyder, is a jackass. Oh, man, I'm sorry. That's not what it says. He says he stated that he has no intention of changing the team's name because he likes a little bit of racism. He likes the racism. I mean, it's bad enough, the names like the Illini and the Fighting Sioux, the Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. You know, the Chiefs, and those names, I mean, that's bad enough. And I'm not trying to, I think any Native American name is inappropriate. But the term Redskins referred to bounties on scalps of Native Americans. And, you know, so it's. The thing which is hard about this story is I want to make sure everyone understands. I can't say a comparable derogatory term to another ethnic group on this radio show. I could not say a derogatory name for the Jews or African Americans or Asian people that was comparable. I can't even say that. I can't, I mean, even in comparison, saying, isn't this horrible? No, a lot of people would get mad at me for saying that. And yet here this name stands on this NFL team and you just, tradition, shut up. Shut up. It's a sport, you brick-headed moron. It's a sports team. How long has that team even been in existence for? The 1930s or 40s?
I don't know. Definitely not reaching back that far.
I don't think it's.
Not as if it's a part of American history.
Yeah, it's like when Abe Lincoln and George Washington got together one day. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. This is self-made traditional patriotism that you wrap yourself in the NFL. Like, see, look, we got a flyby by the Navy jets and we got a big flag on the field. It's America. It's racist. It's racist. And, I mean, how are we at the point? I just watched the fairly decent film, 42, about Jackie Robinson and breaking the color barrier in baseball. And as a matter of fact, in the New York Times this last weekend, I believe it was, there was a story about one of the old Negro League fields that they're trying to recover because of the historical impact of it. And just to give you an idea of how crazy stupid Schneider and the rest of the NFL are, is that you look at – we kind of put the Negro League behind us. Once the league got integrated and the last of the teams got over their racism and you start building, you know, a much more unified product to a point where the stadiums for that old league, which were under segregation, are falling apart and people are talking about trying to resurrect that stadium. We got to save that for historical context. And yet here we are still today in 2019 with the freaking Washington NFL team. There are not many times I will say this. Boy, baseball was ahead of the game, weren't they? Dear Lord. Jeez. You know, and you guys, it's...
Well, I mean, how far behind are the Cleveland Indians, like Chief Wahoo?
Well, I mean, they got rid of that mascot.
That's true.
But I mean, Robert Pilot called in, and they were doing the tomahawk chant in Atlanta down there because they still do that. I mean, no, there are still some problems there, but at least at the same time, the worst of the racism the segregated leagues not allowing African Americans to play ball against white players. That has at least been put to rest. So I mean, if you could compare that, I mean, geez, I don't know what you do, what it takes for the Native Americans to be able to look at this guy and say, you don't see how this is racist. And the reason why is that there isn't a comparable negative term for white people. I mean, honky, whitey.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
too funny.
It's kind of is, you know, and that's the problem is that the white dominant culture creates the derogatory terms for the minority culture.
There's no weight behind calling someone a honky.
Yeah, the minority culture, they don't. There's not a reciprocal nature to it. And any racist that sits there and says, "Well, there's a honky," you know, come on, there is no reciprocal term that is on that level, which is comparable. And like I said, I can't even say the name. I can't even say a comparable name. It is wildly disappointing, but it is a sign of the times where we're at. And thanks to Donald Trump, guys like Daniel Schneider are emboldened. They're emboldened that their racism let their racism flag fly, including going down. It rolls down here. St. Paul suburb of Matamina, known for its schools. Basically, it's the Zephyrs are the team there. They're a powerhouse of the Matamida High School girls soccer team. They have won the last two Class A championships, spending much of the year ranked as the number one team. They played a playoff game against Como Park High, the champs of St. Paul, who outscored conference opponents 33-2 this season. The match would not go for well for Como, neither on the scoreboard or in the stands. The Como Park squad is filled with a rainbow players featuring a heavy complement of Asian kids. Parents say the group of 10 or so Matamidi boys took to taunting those players, telling them to go back to where they came from and giving them the name of Asian foods. Wow. This is not 1950s, people. This is not 1970s. This is not the middle of stupid Kansas. This is in Matamidi. Matamidi. Though the first insult is now is standard operating procedure in lesser places like the White House, it's considered poorer here for the Minnesotans. The Hmong and Vietnamese who dominate Como's Asian community have been here for 50 years. That would make them very much at home and raise suspicions of inadequacy over Matamidi's history curriculum. I think Matamidi's history classes kind of suck. If you don't realize, they've been here for 50 years, probably longer than one or two of your players on your team. I'm just going to say it. There was a girl from one of our teams whose dad came from Brazil like 20 years ago. Welcome. We're on the side of open immigration. We think that people coming here makes us better because it kind of does. Anyway, the parents filed a complaint with the state high school league after Montemita's 3-0 victory. She was kind of mad. Francisco Amaretto, whose daughter plays for Como, told the Pioneer Press, they got a pretty good team and they don't need to say, be saying stuff like that. They're down in us, but there's no need for that name calling or going back to your country stuff. Montemita says it's investigating. They also issued the obligatory written statement. We share in the sadness, anger, and frustration about the alleged behavior activities at the October 15th soccer game and the belief that the players from both teams should play in an environment free from discrimination, that racial harassment is not tolerated on or off the field, wrote Aaron Forsyth, Montemita's associate principal of athletics. Well, if you've got any evidence of these kids doing this for sure, you got to throw them out of school, right? Oh, wait, they're white kids? Oh, we gave them a stern finger wagging. Oh, boy. This is the real legacy of the age of Trump. I mean, we saw it down in Jordan when we had, was it Minneapolis Roosevelt went down to Jordan and they brought their Trump banners and they you know, their Trump signs, and they basically were, you know, there to harass, trying to harass the African-American players because they felt as if it was, you know, this is back, and it's still today, a lot of people will not stand, they don't want to stand for the national anthem to protest racial, you know, inequity in this country. And they were protesting because you come down to Jordan, you better stand up. You know, that kind of crap. That kind of crap. You know, God forbid we actually, I guess Jordan doesn't operate under the rest of the Constitution like the rest of us do. But, you know, this is the kind of the same thing. We have a case now where, and this is in Montemita. And this is going to continue. In the best case scenario, and just we'll just go with Trump being out of office next year. He loses the election. We hopefully don't have too many nutbags going out there grabbing AR-15s and shooting, I don't know what, coffee shops or bookstores or city halls or whatever. It's going to take decades. And I mean, I am dead serious. We need to be shaming this crap forever. And we should, the days of tolerance, the days of the Confederate flag, the days of us tolerating an NFL team with that atrocious of a name, the days of us allowing high school kids to go on out there who have clearly been taught either by their parents or they're not being parented by their parents and are learning from the internet, who are out there saying horribly racist things to anyone who they deem is not white enough. Ignorantly telling families who have been here for a half a century to go home. Trust me, they went home as soon as you guys got done with that game because they didn't want to be around your racist butts in Montemita. But the reality is this, we're going to have decades of this. And you're going to have people going to have white racists going, God, do you remember the good old days of Trump? God, it was, you know, he allowed us to be us. We didn't have to hide. We didn't have to cover our heads. We didn't have to do this stuff in private anymore. We could just go on out to a girls' soccer game and say what we wanted to say. It's dead serious, man. We're going to have that. Just, we have to have the strength that when it happens around you, look at them with the most sincere face and tone you can find and tell them to shut the F up. God, you ignorant morons. I'm part of a race too. It's called the human race. You see, you just do it like that. You use whatever adjectives you want to use in there, but you do it like that. And let them know that it ain't going to be tolerated. It's not going to be tolerated anymore. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a quick break here and come on back. We'll take your phone calls as well. 952-946-6205. Uh-oh, speaking of Trump, could be some lies for the Iron Range. Uh-oh, found a nasty story for those people that trusted him up there. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour. We have been on the air on AM 950 for over 5 years, over 200 original shows in the can, including musicians, artists, promoters, authors, comedians, and more. We're on the air Saturdays at 6 p.m. If you'd like to advertise, get a hold of us at am950radio.com. And stay tuned this weekend, Wall of Power Radio Hour.
Marijuana legalization might not mean a lot to you professionally, but it may to your clients and employees, bankers and investors, property owners and landlords. Minnesota Lawyer has got your back with the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Denver-based researcher the Marijuana Policy Group will present data on the economic impact legislation has had in Colorado and how that might translate to Minnesota. You'll hear from professionals in other states that legalized marijuana about what's at stake for you. Human resources professionals can learn about the effects on employees and how the hiring process could change. Attorneys will learn how to protect their clients. Commercial real estate brokers and agents will hear about investment opportunities from an expert panel. Speakers include Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Speaker of the House Ryan Winkler, and Senators Melissa Franzen, Jeff Hayden, and Scott Jensen, as well as several Minnesota business leaders. Learn strategies that work at the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Register now at canconmn.com.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
And you're making this comment while you're rooting on a team from Matamidi. All right, get ready for the irony checkpoint here, okay? Matamidi, pretty sure that's not English. I'm sure that's not from the fatherland. That sounds conspicuously Native American, if you ask me. But Jess, you're making racist comments as you root on Matamidi. And by the way, and once again, I want to say this. There's this idea of white savior, and I don't think that that is. We need to have a society where we all, regardless of who we are, realize this is wrong, and that racism and bigotry, Islamophobia, homophobia—they're all just wrong. And it should not be a case where white guy comes in to save the day. I will jump into these conversations and shame racist jackasses, not because I am trying to be the white savior. Quite the opposite. Dude, I'm a big white guy. I'm a walking jar of mayonnaise, okay? I am marshmallow fluff. I am Wonder Bread. I don't need you making me look bad because of your racism. You make all white people look bad when you sit there and spew your ungodly hatred. In the same sense, is I get very upset with the evangelicals because they sure seem to be twisting Christianity into some sort of weird, perverse thing. As a Catholic, I'm very upset about that. And I tell them to stop it because you're ruining a religion that's supposed to be based on love and peace, welcoming and understanding, not hate, 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 hate. So I will challenge you because, dude, shut up. I don't want you representing white people because you're ignorant, you're stupid, and you shouldn't be. So, but we all should stand up for this stuff. It's not about, here comes the white guy to save the day. It should be, shut up, racist.
Well, yeah, and when I hear white saviorism, I think of white people going into other areas, other communities, trying to take over their problems. This is just calling out jerks.
Not understanding the system and the situation, all the details of a thing, and then trying to speak authoritatively on it. No.
It's not hard to call these people out.
Yeah, it's you're not street if you live in Minnetonka and just wear clothes that you come from some hip hop brand that is so grossly expensive that it's not really hip hop. It's just marketed to dumb white kids that basically don't know any better. So that doesn't make you street dog. Know what you're getting into. I just say this: that's racist. Shut up. That's bigoted. Shut up. That's anti-Semitic. Shut up. That's anti-LGBTQ. Shut up. That's anti-Islamophobia. It's anti-Islam, anti-Muslim. Shut up. Because no one has clearly had the good graces to tell you to stop and not say these things in public. Let me be the first one to say, shut up, you idiot. Gary is in Minneapolis. We wanted to chime on. And welcome on in, Gary Bear.
Man, I want to personally thank you. I look forward to listening to you whenever I can. You're my favorite program.
Thank you, sir.
I like the hour after you, too, so.
I don't know about that, but okay.
I want to say a few things. I listen to you. Sometimes I'm doing art and I can't hear you, but otherwise I watch you, listen to you. And I'd like to do an art piece for you, a bigger one sometime.
I'd love that.
I'm going to say the Republicans are crying like babies now, like they've never impeached anybody or did investigation before, how it's a sham and it's a freak show what the Democrats and this inquiry is. And, I just want to say something. I used to be really proud. I was totally proud. Born after World War II, we beat the Nazis and the Japanese, the Axis, and the greatest generation pulled us out of depression, defeated world, built the middle class, all that stuff. And now they're pulling us down the toilet knives of the whole world.
Well, it is very sad and very, thank you, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. It's very sad to watch the greatest generation smudge their own name, and that's reality here. Marianne Richardson, Montemito, I was platted in 1883. The town name is from the Dakota for White Bear Lake. Motto, the gray bear, and Made, a lake. So Montemito. There it is. It's once again, the more you learn is like this. Hey, racist guy, funny thing about where you live and the team you're cheering for. It's a Native American name. It's like when they got upset about Bedote and they didn't realize, well, if you don't want Fort Snelling to go back to the name Bedote, you better go and change Mendota because Mendota is the French version of Bedote. Ta-da! The more you know. All right. Here's one that will sober you up, especially if you're up on the Iron Range. Get ready to clench the old caboose. Cleveland Cliffs, one of the larger players in the Iron Range, saw profits plunge 79%. I read this. The reason I even read this story, because I got to that number, I'm like, what? Cleveland Cliffs, one of the larger players on the Iron Range, saw profits plunge 79% in the third quarter as iron ore demand and prices fell sharply at the same time the company was adjusting to a smaller footprint. Cliffs, a Cleveland-based plant company that owns United Taconite and Forbes and Eveleth and North Shore Mining and Babbitt and Silver Bay, reported Wednesday that sales for the quarter were $556 million, down 25% for the same period a year ago. Not only did third quarter sales volumes fall to 5.75 million tons from 6.48 million, but market prices also fell sharply. As a result, Cliffs' profits dropped dramatically to just $91 million or 33 cents a share. Funny story about the whole taconite and the steel industry. Do you know how we've talked about how picking a trade war on the ag front with China was stupid? Because on the ag side of things, the Chinese knew that there is a massive budget deficit or trade deficit for the United States in regards to technology and manufactured goods. And so in a way to try to make up for that, the Chinese were not only buying what they needed for soybeans and pork, but they were buying like an additional third of soybeans and letting it just go rot. They were paying market price just to get more product in to try to offset the trade imbalance, which is a pretty – was yeah, that, they didn't have to do that. And yet that was – they were trying to find some way to offset this trade deficit on their own. So the minute that Johnny Idiot, basically in the White House, decides to trade wars are easy, guess what? They didn't have to do that anymore. And in matter of fact, that lack of buying the surplus alone started showing serious damage in the ag sector right away. One of the problems with Trump's claim of I'm going to get steel in America back again is that you need foundries in the United States. U.S. Steel just shut down one of their foundries. I think it was in Gary, Indiana. No other foundries have decided to. I mean, a lot of them have been mothballed. They're sitting empty. They haven't been used in decades. And no one is buying them up and retrofitting them with brand new equipment so they can start making steel. And the reason why is because the market created this little paradox that you can ship all the raw materials to China. China can produce the steel and ship it back, and it's actually cheaper than if you do it at your own house. And here's a funny little thing. If you start getting really, you know, jerkish with the Chinese, they've got plenty of taconite in China too. They just weren't digging it up. They weren't mining their taconite at the levels they could have. Well, guess what has happened? Chinese have not only started mining their own taconite, they've actually started buying taconite from other countries other than the United States. So that slide whistle you hear is lack of demand for American taconite. Now, I don't take any joy in this, but I wasn't the idiot to basically say, he's going to save the steel industry. We're all going to make steel here. And don't give me this crud about third quarter. It's steel. You're building buildings across the world. Yes, you might not be building the most in Toronto or Montreal or Minneapolis come heart of winter, but you're building on the southern border and you're building basically everywhere else in the world. So the demand for steel is still there. It just is they don't want our steel anymore. And not only that, they don't even want our base product anymore. Of course, they tried to put Cleveland Cliffs tried to put out the positive spin on this. We believe the current weak steel prices in the United States are temporary, and the cyclicality associated with our business should be largely mitigated as we start up HBI next year. The plant company is building in Toronto, Ohio, said CEO at statement. While he noted the quarter included operational achievements and progress on the hot briquetted iron plant, Cliffs is a building knowledge that overall market conditions and once premium pricing had indeed had softened, a.k.a. they're gone. So there is a plant that is being built in Toledo. It's actually a replacement plant. But I can tell you this right now. That one plant ain't going to be going to – it's not finished. And there's another plant. Where is the other one they said? There was another plant – that they had, that they that was right. It brought they in December 2017. They bought and leased land rich on Nashwauk. The company hopes to one day mine and process it into high grade ore. The problem is that there is a and there's a they've also they have half finished the $1.9 billion former Esther Steel Minnesota project that now is on the that's now being put on hold. So. They said they would like the state of Minnesota to award Cliffs the mining permits necessary so it could take over the old Esser site and project is one that's sputtered on and off for more than 12 years, remains a source of frustration for state officials. So you're not going to build the plants if there's no interest. And if you've lost 79% of your margins, if you've lost 79% of your profit margins, that's not 10, 15, 20%. That's a market fluctuation. This is a bloodletting. This is a bloodletting. And as long as they can go mine taconite and iron ore and all the base products for steel cheaper, which they can because it's China, guess what? We're not going to have the American steel industry come back. You're just not. But hey, you voted for it. We had a before the trade war. I don't think the steel market was. I don't remember the steel markets having 79% drops in profitability per quarter. I don't remember that happening. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let's take a break and we'll come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Interact Center for the Visual and Performing Arts for Professional Artists with and Without Disabilities is celebrating the National Disability Employment Awareness Month, or NDEAM. Each October, NDEAM raises awareness about employment and celebrates the many and varied talents of America's disability population. Interact employs over 120 artists who produce amazing theater and visual art in the spirit of radical inclusion. Interact hopes you consider making a contribution in honor of an artist this October. Just visit interactcenter.org. If you support all Interact artists but don't know their names, you can put artists down in the honor box. So let's celebrate the Interact Center during National Disability Employment Month and honor these talented artists. Visit interactcenter.org to learn more. That's interactcenter.org.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. Currently, they have almost 300 certified used vehicles in stock, and many of them qualify for financing as low as 1.9%. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, offer the 7-year 100,000-mile warranty, and their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I do want to make sure I mention our good friends over at the Park Tavern. They have got Halloween, of course, next Thursday, I believe it is. Thursday the 31st, I believe it is. It's a week from today. Yeah, it's a week from today. So, yeah, they, of course, have got this weekend, they've got their Halloween shindig over at the Park Tavern. If you haven't been, it's a lot of fun. They've got, this is going to be on Saturday, October 28th. They got best female, best male, best couples, costume contest, complimentary pizza buffet. They've got the cosmic bowling. They got music. It's 21 and older, though. 21 and older for the Park Tavern. Head on over. Have some fun with their Halloween event. They call it Stranger Things Halloween. Ooh, spooky. That is the Park Tavern on Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, and online at parktavern.net. Once again, that's this Saturday. So if you don't have your costume, go get a costume. Go over there. I want to bring up the debacle from yesterday, namely this clown car show that came out when Representative Matt Gaetz and 30 House Republicans tried to force their way into a hearing that was being conducted in the impeachment of Donald Trump in regards to his quid pro quo, where he basically held government aid, government U.S. government approved aid for the Ukraine in lieu of getting dirt on his political rivals, in this case, Joe Biden. And we've talked a lot about this, talked about it with Stein. You can hear that spotlight interview from yesterday if you go to the SoundCloud page. But one of the things that I want to break down the insane stupidity of all this. Not only did these guys know about this, not only were they encouraged to do this by Sean Hannity and Trump prior to doing it, they're protesting, and I want to make sure everyone out there is listening, including all the Republicans who are listening right now. They did this. The Democrats are doing this not because they're making up the rules. These are the rules that were set forward during the Benghazi days by the House Republicans, led by John Boehner at that point, and approved by the majority of House, I think it was all House Republicans, approved this standard where they do the investigation like this. What Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and all of them are doing right now is completely and totally legal by the House rules the House Republicans put into place in January of 2015. Included in that group of people who approved those rules were numerous members of the 30 people who were storming this door and saying this was illegitimate. It gets even funnier. These hearings that they're having in private, where a committee is bringing people in, the people are being brought in by specific committee members. And any member of those committees are able to be in these hearings. So if you are a member of the committee, you are not barred from being in these private testimonies. You can be there. Business Insider's Kelly McCoughlin highlighted there was a longstanding rule that witnesses are supposed to be interviewed in a way that can be stay classified. Axios and BuzzFeed News reported that 12 of those Republicans protesting were already able to attend the hearing because they sit on the relevant committees, including the Oversight and Foreign Affairs Committee. So I want to make sure we all understand this. The individuals who are saying, you're keeping this private, you could go into those meetings. 12 of you could have gone in. You could have gone into those meetings. You could have gone in there, been part of them. I don't know, blabbed like crazy, I guess, if you wanted to. But this idea that your constituents are being left out because you can't go in there, that's completely and totally irrelevant. So we're following the rules the Republicans themselves put into place. Many of those rules approved by Republicans who were storming the gates yesterday. 12 of the Republicans who stormed the gates could have actually gone into that anyway because they were on the relevant committees. And these clowns all brought cell phones into a secure classified area, filming the entire time. And it was only after they started getting this and the sergeant of arms actually said, I'm going to start arresting people, that they, oh, well, we're putting them away. We're putting them away now. They caused them to have to shut down the facility and sweep for bugs and stuff like this because I don't trust those guys. Did you? As a matter of fact, I think that might have been kind of the goal, try to get a camera or a listening device into this hearing so they could hear what was going on. And that's really what we're getting at here. Don't miss the point. The last 2 days, yesterday and the day beforehand, we had Ambassador Taylor speak. And yesterday, Laura Cooper was the individual who spoke. Both of these people have been put under pressure by their individual department of the government to not go and testify. In the case of Ambassador Taylor, that was the State Department. In case of Laura Cooper, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia, she was ordered by the Pentagon to not testify. The reason why these Republicans stormed the door at that point to try to shut this down was because Taylor was an incredibly damaging witness on Tuesday, and it gets worse with Cooper, Laura Cooper. This is from Kate Brennan, editorial director at Just Security, formerly of Foreign Policy, Politico, Defense News, and a fellow at Atlantic Council. This is from her Twitter feed. From what I've heard, Cooper's testimony confirmed a lot of what other witnesses have told House investigators. There was unanimous support from Trump's cabinet and the interagency to supply Ukraine with security assistance, but the White House withheld it anyway. Providing security assistance to Ukraine is in the interest of the United States. Withholding it is not. She was made aware of a quid pro quo between the security assistance and a commitment from Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. And according to a source familiar with her testimony, Cooper also said that DOD had made it clear to the White House that by withholding funds without congressional authorization, it was a risk of violating the law. So she is saying that she was aware. And now you also put this in the timeline. There's now confirmation that Ukraine had acknowledged that they had to investigate the Bidens for Trump to get aid way earlier now than it had previously been released. He's guilty. He's 100% guilty. And part of what is going on is something that we pointed out before in regards to Trump, which is, I know I'm everything that you guys are supposed to dislike, but because you're betrothed to me, I'm going to see how far I can take this. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro on Thursday swatted away any direct questions about whether former Vice President Joe Biden came up during President Trump's trade negotiations with China. I want to listen to this back and forth here between Navarro and CNN. You don't have the right to know what happens behind closed doors in the administration, Navarro told CNN's Jim Sciutto. It should be noted that Navarro just got busted for creating a fake individual who was pushing anti-Chinese trade stances and backing up his own articles. He had made his own guy. And he was using them, and he was basically quoting his own tweets to promote his own stuff. But going back to what he said in regards to China, you don't have the right to know what happens behind closed doors in the administration, said CNN. The TV host pushed back, however, insisting the American people have a right to know if politics have entered trade negotiations. Navarro then pivoted to the problem of anonymous sources in news stories. I'm asking you a direct question. Did you bring up investigating the Bidens as part of the negotiations? But Navarro deflected again, saying, you're asking me about what happens in the White House behind closed doors in negotiations. CNN has reported that Trump mentioned Biden's political prospects during a phone call with the Chinese president in June 18th. He told the leader he would keep quiet about the protests rolling Hong Kong if he helped him out. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This is like the – at this point, especially with Ukraine on the table, this is like John Oliver says, it's stupid Watergate. Why aren't you even just lying? We never brought it up. You know, this whole thing, I'm not going to tell you what happened. Well, you're telling us that you brought it up by saying, I'm not going to tell you what we did not bring up. Which could also mean he didn't bring it up this time, but he's brought it up a few different times and before, and Navarro just doesn't want him to get caught in a trap where he said, well, we didn't bring this up. So he's basically saying, you don't have a right to know what we've been discussing. Yeah, we're going to find out what he's been discussing. And I will say this. China, he's not going to survive this Ukraine thing. I just don't think – I mean, he's going to be so damaged by the time he gets done with this thing. Even if he does finish out his fourth year, he is going to be such toxic cancer for every Republican. I guarantee you the second the primaries are done on the Republican side, the second they're done in 2020, they're all of a sudden – they're going to be a lot of hands on hips, a lot of head shaking going, you know – I've had my questions about Trump. I've tried to desperately not be 100% on board. I want a Republican to lead, but boy, oh boy, I guarantee you, there are going to be some belligerents. There are going to be some belligerents out there, but there's going to be a lot of Republicans especially if this testimony is as damaging as it really sounds like it is in regard to the Ukraine deal, that they have him so dead to rights it's not even funny. Even without the documentation they keep refusing to give to him, that they have him – even without the main evidence, it's like, you know, I don't have the gun that was used to shoot people, but here's, you know, 50 other versions of all the guns all smoking, my signed confession, a videotape of the shooting, and basically the witness statement from their deathbed saying it was me that did it. But here, I'm not going to give you the gun. The reason he's doing this because he loves watching the Republicans twist. And he's just – and this is just Trump is. You caught me. I don't care. And so as long as we have Republicans who basically are saying, yeah, I'm okay with foreign governments interfering with American elections, I guess the only option left for the Democrats is to start, you know, sending out resumes. You know, Germany, France. I mean, there's a lot of blank hole countries in Africa, I imagine, that would like to throw a few dollars towards the Democrats' way. Yeah, I guarantee you that. We'll have to see how that goes. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
Our veterans need you.
There are more than 8 million enrollees in healthcare at the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Veterans from previous generations.
And veterans from today's wars.
Challenging medical conditions.
And more women returning than ever before
are redefining how care is provided.
Serve those who served our nation.
Bring your medical and healthcare skills to VA. America's heroes need you. Visit vacareers.va.gov.
Litton's Party Value is your Halloween headquarters. All Halloween-specific items will be an extra 20% off our low warehouse prices. Litton's Party Value has its best costumes for toddlers, kids' favorite licensed costumes, and adult costumes. Litton's Party Value has a great selection of tableware, decorations, and props to put the haunt into your Halloween horror show. Shop Litton's Party Value's new location at 913 Plymouth Avenue North, Minneapolis. Free parking or shop Litton's online at partyvalue.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, I do want to remind everyone that if you get the chance and you want to go on out there, they are going to be doing that protest. The march starts at 4 o'clock, so right after the show here. They're going to be marching from PV Field Park in Minneapolis down to the Commons Park in front of the stadium. There'll be a rally there at 5 p.m. to protest the name of the Washington football team. Once again, Daniel Schneider's a jackass. How about I say that? I mean, jackass. So just FYI, going to be heading out there. We just tried to go. Is Pilot out there? Is he getting ready to walk out that way?
Yeah, he's on his way right now.
There you go. All right, well, yeah, off you go. Be safe out there, and, you know, by all means, right to protest. That is supposed to be one of those things we have preserved here in the state of Minnesota. The State Court of Appeals has extended a hold on three permits for PolyMet's proposed copper nickel mine in northern Minnesota. Yay. The court has released Thursday. Order released Thursday said the temporary stays will remain in effect until the court decides the merits of appeals filed by the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Chippewa and several environmental groups. The court has 90 days to file its decision. The order comes one day after the court appeals heard oral arguments from the groups who had asked the court to reverse the permits, as well as a decision by the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to allow the contested case hearing on the matters. Based on the record of the arguments of the parties, we conclude that it's appropriate to continue the stays through this court's decision of the appeals, said Chief Justice Edward Cleary. The appeals court core of the group's fierce opposition to PolyMet's mining project, a proposed open pit mine that would operate in the Iron Range near Babbitt and Hoyt Lakes. It would be the state's first major non-ferrous mine, a.k.a. it's sulfur mine. It's going to be – yeah, it's horrific. And the appeals are core to the group's fierce opposition to it. The water legacy lawyer Paula McKay lauded the move. A fourth permit that regulates water pollution from the mine remains on hold. The water permit was issued by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and was the subject of a future Ramsey County District Court hearing. An alleged irregularity is how the MPCA handled it. The project is fully permitted, although four of the permits are on hold, and Toronto-based PolyMet Mining has been working to raise the estimated $945 million it needs to construct its mine. Once again, it should be noted, it's not these guys are not from here, so they could care less about what happens to the environment afterwards. And this type of mining has never been done safely in the history of the mines. It has never been done safely. It's cheaper for them to buy off Republicans and Iron Range Democrats to weaken environmental rules than it is to basically for them to follow the environmental laws. End of story, end of discussion. Lawrence is in St. Paul. He's going to get the final word today. Welcome on in, Lawrence.
Hey, thank you, man. Hey, we got to check our facts, because I thought the Washington Redskins got rid of their offensive name, so next year the Washington Redskins will just be known as the Redskins.
Wow. Well, that's okay. There you go. There you go. The joke's been said. It is a truly atrocious name, and I think we can all agree, Lawrence, it should be retired.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, can I talk about these Republicans for a minute?
Sure.
So we're talking about these boot-licking sycophant Republicans, but the question is, and you illustrated this perfectly, you spent 5 minutes perfectly illustrating how these guys, how this was a stunt. Now, it is not the Republicans' fault. I believe it is the Democrats. They can't seem to get a message out. If these were Democrats, man, it would have been a national news story the next day, and the Democrats would have acquiesced.
Well, and Lawrence, and I'm going to step in because we're at the end of the show here. Here's what I will say. You're to a point, he's right, that every day the Democrats would have come on out with the most damning stuff they would have in each of these hearings and gone and ran with it, and especially stuff out of context. What the Democrats are doing is they're doing it as by the book and the rules. And come November, before they get to an impeachment vote and they have all the hearings in the House, they're going to throw this book at the Republicans and say, yeah, defend this. They'll try, but it's going to be very hard. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see you.